It's the True Penny Show at the G1 for Wrestle Talk TV.
Hello and welcome to the True Penny Show bonus episode. Bonus. I need to get delay on that. Make it sound dramatic. We are trying to cover as much of the G1 as we possibly can, and we have got a little bit behind us. Join me today, though, to try and fill out some knowledge for you, is Mr. Simon Heath of Manchester.
Oh God, is that what I'm here for?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yes, hello. Hello. We have reached the portion of the G1 that I feel if Douglas Adams was a Japanese wrestling fan, he'd have referred to it as the long, dark tea time of the soul.
It's the saggy middle. Well, I'm looking at the reviews of these two shows we're covering today, and only one of them is not recommended by either. Oh, sorry, two of them are not recommended by Meltzer or by the Cage Match inmates. So that shows you the kind of quality they were keeping up.
Only two matches.
Only two matches out of the 10 really? We're looking at. Yes.
Interesting.
So should we start?
I might see if I can guess them.
Well. The first match we're looking at, the first night we're looking at, is a Block B night, which was night 10. And that opened with Evil versus Toru Yano. And it was 1 minute and 33 seconds long.
Yeah, was this one of them?
Yeah. Funny you should mention that. Yes, it was. It was all right. It did what it said on the tin. I can't profuse enough about Toru Yano as much as I have done, because, everyone's sick of me saying the guy's just awesome, and he is. Even in defeat, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Evil just wasn't having any of his shenanigans in this one, was he?
No.
and sadly now, Toriano mathematically eliminated. So
yeah, it's a shame,
isn't it?
It's a shame. But
no glorious win, no shrug over the trophy.
No, wouldn't it be just such a great and wondrous thing if he did win the championship? But
yeah, but probably only for about 3 seconds.
Then you realise that the main event of Wrestle Kingdom is going to be less than 4 minutes long.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, roll up. Like 3 seconds.
Okay, we'll move on to the second match of night 10, which was Minoru Suzuki versus Tama Tonga. This was brilliant. Really enjoyed this. And Tama Tonga continues to impress in this tournament. Geniusly managed to dispose of Desperado, take his place holding the Suzuki gun flag, and hide behind it until he had chance to jump Minoru Suzuki, which was a brilliant piece of misdirection, worthy of Mr. Yano himself. What did you think of this, Si?
I mean, that entrance was fantastic, but it was almost perfect, the timing of it, but there was just a tiny little moment towards the end where Suzuki turned round too early. And Tonga was just peeking above, and then he was like, "Ooh!" But other than that, it was great. I have to say, the match itself, I didn't particularly enjoy this one.
No, I think it was a bit of an odd clash of styles. These guys haven't really done an awful lot together, and you know, you're making stuff up on the fly a lot of the time with these matches, and especially with guys that, you know, Suzuki hasn't been anywhere near the tag division in about 5 years. So these are just two guys who never ever do anything together, and very rarely mix together in mixed tag matches either. So they all did their stuff, and they got in what they got in, and there was nice storytelling in Bullet Club trying to outflank Suzuki Gun, which I thought was good.
And yeah, I don't know whether we're just getting to the stage where they're sort of running out of ideas a bit for Suzuki matches, because it was really entertaining with all the out of ring brawling to start off with, because it's not something you usually see, especially in these tournament matches.
Yeah,
but it got a bit ridiculous in this match. I felt like we spend like a minute and 30 seconds in the ring or something like that.
Yeah.
it was just all over the place, which is fine, and again, you know, it's something we don't normally see, so it's nice to have a bit of a breakup. But they're getting a little bit samey now, the Suzuki matches, but we still get to hear the amazing theme tune, so
of course, there you do.
Happy days.
Yeah, and nicely at the end of this match, I think it was this match, Minoru Suzuki leveled a young boy with a chair
on the note. He waited for the Kaza.
Ever the showman is Minoru Suzuki. Yes.
Beautiful moment.
Yeah, and even the young boy, it was such a devastating chair shot, the young boy got a round of applause. when he stood up.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sympathy golf clap, isn't it, when you get beaten up by Suzuki. Oh, well done. Yes.
You survived. You're alive.
Yep.
Okay, move on to match three, which was Sonada versus Michael Elgin. 15 minutes and 6 seconds, 4 stars from Meltzer, 7.17 from the cage match, guys. This was really, really good, and it shows how can I put this, how established Elgin is, that he can take a loss to someone who's down the rung in Sonada, and it doesn't really affect him that much. It was just a good piece of work, and well booked, and Elgin was the right guy for Sonada to beat, and Sonada showed an awful lot of fire in this match.
I'm going the other way on this, I'm afraid. I didn't enjoy this match at all. I thought it was sort of plodding and didn't really get going, and they didn't really mesh particularly well together. I didn't like it at all. In fact, at this point of the show, I was thinking, oh God, this is going to be an absolute stinker. Yeah, not my jam, which is weird because I love both these guys. Sorry, I shouldn't say both these guys. That'll get me booed. But yeah, I really didn't enjoy this match.
Fair enough. Okay, you know, we can't. You know, there's an awful lot of matches out there, and it's, you know, it's matches that are good for some people, as Chelsea is fond of saying. You know,
this is it.
This was somebody else's match. Clearly,
it Meltzer's. It was somebody else's match.
Yes.
Although I did like the bit at the start with the with Elgin opening up the ropes for Sonada, and Sonada not being particularly sure as to whether he should take the opportunity or not. It took him about 5 minutes to... but that was quite beautiful. But,
do I trust this large Canadian gentleman?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, not for me, this one, for some reason.
Well, was this one your bag? Satoshi Kojima versus Kenny Omega?
Well, you know that it was, James, yes. this was the point in the show where I thought, oh, no, we're all right. The headliners are going to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, Kojima has been bang on in this tournament, even though he's pretty much lost everything. And, you know, Kenny Omega has not been house show pants Kenny Omega, which is what Alex Edwards has been worried about. He's been...
Well, in this match, he specifically wore the house show pants almost to mock Kojima and suggest that he wasn't worthy of his big show attire.
which worked out really well for him. He got a kick in.
Well, I mean, you're going to, aren't you? Let's face it. But no, I really enjoyed this one. Kojima obviously fighting with everything he's got, trying to avoid the goose egg.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually missing out. And another one bites the dust mathematically.
Yeah, this is true.
It's, maths being the most dangerous fighter in the G1 so far, knocking people out left, right and center.
It was thoroughly entertaining, just as Kenny Omega has just generally been thoroughly entertaining throughout this tournament. And Kojima had some counters for the stuff he did as well, you know, so it wasn't as by the numbers as perhaps some of the matches you've seen on this card.
This one just did it for me, whether it was the pacing, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I really enjoyed this one. Although something that will come up later on, those V triggers are getting slightly nasty, and in a couple of shows' time they get really, really nasty. So I don't know whether it seems like we're building up, or whether my foreknowledge of that incident is maybe colouring my opinion of them. But
okay, then we move on to the main event, which was Kazuchika Okada defeating Juice Robinson in 20 minutes and 29 seconds in perhaps the best match of Juice's career.
Yeah, absolutely. So I going into this tournament, I really wanted the story, or at least the story for me, to be Zack Sabre Jr. But it has been Juice's tournament so far, and I mean, he's only won one, but, and again, maths has knocked him out. But yeah, this was a great match. He sort of finally reaching the top of the mountain, even though he couldn't pull out the win. Okada starting to lose his temper a little bit. They've been playing on that slightly.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to play into the final stages of this tournament, because Okada is now the, I think, the only undefeated man left.
Yeah, at this point he is.
So. He's got 10 points, hasn't he, at the end of this? So, yeah, but he's just starting to lose his temper a little bit, and I'm wondering whether that might play into the finish of this tournament.
Yeah.
Whether somebody might find a way to tip him over the edge, and that's what costs him.
This is the story they're telling with Okada. Can he be perfect through this tournament? And it's really hard, because even if you win all your group matches, you know, or even if you don't lose all your group matches, you could still not make it to the final. So it's, yeah, this is the cut and thrust of the G1.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, to still be putting on main events like this, you know, at this sort of grueling point of the tournament, because I think I was really worried at the start of the show that maybe this was going to be the show where everybody was just not into it. You know, you're on a tour show, it's a smaller crowd.
Yeah.
And I was starting to think, oh, maybe they're just going to phone this one in, or whatever the Japanese equivalent of that is.
Fax it in.
Entirely possible. yeah, but the last two matches of the show I really, really enjoyed, and this one was great. Juice has been fantastic. I'm not sure anybody... I don't know whether they've designed it this way or whether it's just him pulling out these matches, but yeah, I think the story of this tournament so far has been Juice's improvement.
So
who would have thought it 2 years ago, watching him be a crusty hippie on NXT? Nobody would have... Oh, yeah, well, I didn't explain my headcanon for this match, did I?
No, you didn't. You have been sharing with us your whole, like, ideology behind Juice Robinson matches throughout this tournament.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I realised that he did actually lose to the Grim Reaper in the last one, so technically none of this makes sense anymore because he didn't get a second chance at life, but we're going to gloss over that. It's retconned, it's fine. So I'm thinking this one... Juice is actually, he's turned face in my headcanon now, because what he's doing here is he's fighting the local bully, the local jock, to win control of the rec center, because it's being closed to, because the jock's dad is building apartments.
Okay.
So that's what this is. So it's the 1980s, you know, nerds versus jocks kind of a film.
Okay.
So he's no longer the crusty hippie. He's the people's champion.
Revenge of the
crusty hippies.
Revenge of Taguchi Japan.
Yes. Taguchi, who made an appearance earlier on in the show, looking at Yano during his match like he'd never seen a Yano match before, which I really enjoyed. But from a man whose nickname is the Funky Weapon, that's...
Yeah,
you can't look at people like that. That's...
Taguchi is on the back burner. Him and Ricochet are planning their title match with the Young Bucks, probably that's going to happen at the G1 Climax final, I would think. Which will be something to see, I feel.
Yes, indeed.
Right then, we move on to night 11, which is a Block A night, which started with Yoshihashi versus Bad Luck Fale. And Yoshihashi defeats Bad Luck Fale in 10 minutes and 21 seconds. A good piece of work here, but, you know, it wasn't going to get the kind of, how can I put this, connoisseur's seal of approval, because it was a big, lumpy, hit them really hard match.
How did you guess? No, I mean, these are the two guys I care about least in this whole tournament, so I don't think this match was ever going to be for me. Interesting giving Yoshihashi the win, though. I wasn't expecting that.
Especially
because I don't expect them to really do anything within this tournament. He just feels like tournament fodder to me, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose... You can't really have Fale winning the tournament though either, so he's got to lose to somebody.
Not at all, but you're trying to put him over as a, you know, as a big threat. Sort of the only real big man left, I suppose.
Yeah,
I suppose you could count Elgin, but he's strong, not really. He's not a giant.
No, because it was like there was an indie show from California last month, and he was wrestling Jack Swagger, and Jack Swagger dwarfed him.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble, isn't it?
He's big by New Japan main event standards, but he's not big.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they are planning on moving to moving over to America more, you sort of need a couple of those guys, don't you? So I hope Farley gets to a point where I give a damn about him, but we'll see.
All right then. Moving on to someone you do give a damn about, Zack Sabre Jr.
Two people
you do give a damn about. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Togi Makabe in 9 minutes and 30 seconds, 8 points to 6. Zack Sabre Jr. still in with a shout. This was interesting, and, you know, watching Togi Makabe having to wrestle a straight-up wrestling match was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it did sort of degenerate into a Maccabee-style fist fight towards the middle. We haven't really seen that from Sabre, him sort of frustratedly getting away from his game plan a little bit. He started out trying to put the submissions on like he generally does, but it sort of degenerated into a bit of a strike fest towards the middle, which I don't think it's something Sabre Jr. particularly wants to try against against Makabe. But yeah, really enjoyed it. You know, great finish. The kept going for that octopus, but then transitioned it into the ankle lock. And you don't often see Makabe tap.
No, you don't. You definitely don't. In fact, I was quite shocked to see Makabe tap. I thought he'd probably take one of Zach's rolling pins rather than take a submission.
Or even a quick knee strike or something. Sort of out of nowhere. Mm. But yeah, interesting. Yeah,
definitely, definitely. And there's a reason why they call him the Unchained Gorilla. You know, his MO is stand up and hit people really hard. So
yeah, but he does have a chain, doesn't he? So that's a little bit misleading.
But he takes it off, so he's unchained.
Ah, I see. So with entrance attire, it's like when you create a wrestler on 2K17. Right, with you.
Okay, then moving on. The next match was Tomohiro Ishii defeating Yuji Nagata, 13 minutes and 51 seconds, 4.5 stars from Meltzer, 8.92. And yet again, Ishii and Nagata steal the show. It was just fantastic to watch these two lummox at each other for 20 minutes. They were just great. And obviously, this is the closest thing we're going to get to a dad fight, so Sai's going to be really happy.
Can you use lummox as a verb?
I just did.
Fair enough. I mean, if you're going to use it at any point, then this is absolutely the point to use it. Nagata's best match so far, I wonder?
I think they've all been good. Everything Nagata's done has been gold.
No, don't get me wrong, they've all been good. But I just think this was the best of them. I absolutely love this match. It was brilliant.
It could, yeah. I mean, my favorite match of the tournament so far was Ishii versus Naito, and I think this was possibly just as good. Maybe the Naito one was a hair better, but yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we're reaching the point in the tournament now where, you know, people are getting eliminated, and so, you know, you can lose the tournament now. You can't necessarily win it. Yeah. So it's kind of a weird sort of midpoint where, you know, some of the matches matter in a points total sense, and some of them don't. And this one, obviously, Nagata now is eliminated. Yeah. He's on the goose egg with Kojima, which is always nice to see the old fellas counting the lights on their way out, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Do we think this is Kojima's last as well as Nagata's last?
I think he's still got some stuff to give. I was saying on Monday with Chelsea, he has been asked to represent New Japan in All Japan, and he's challenging for the Triple Crown next month. So I have a feeling they want to give him something over a period of time, should he win that championship. But I don't know what the level of talent swap agreement is with All Japan. Maybe it is just a one-off guest appearance. So we shall see. But he's a former Triple Crown champion.
Yes.
And as I alluded to, he was the ace of the company for a good long stretch. The brilliant, brilliant Kojima story was when he was Triple Crown champion, Triple H and Ric Flair were on a Japanese tour, and they all went out for dinner. And Triple H didn't know who somebody was, and Kojima introduced them in Japanese as, "This is Ric Flair and his bodyguard."
At least he didn't say bag carrier.
So we move on to the next match, which was Tetsuya Naito and Hiroki Goto, 13 minutes and 30 seconds, 4 stars from Meltzer, 6.36 from the Cage Match Inmates. This was pretty good for what it was. Certainly Goto upped his game to keep up with Naito. And it was kind of a Chaos versus LIJ match. We've seen it a little bit before this year, but well worth watching and entertaining for what it was, and certainly lived up to the standard of this card.
Yeah, again, not really into this one. You know, I love Naito to bits. Goto, I'm pretty ambivalent about, but yeah, I just the crowd just didn't feel into it for me. This one, I don't know whether that was the reason I couldn't quite get into it. They just sort of sounded a bit burnt out at this point.
I think after Ishii and Nagata, that was perfectly acceptable. But yes,
well, true. But I'm not sure you really want to be putting Naito in your sort of palate cleanser. let's all go to the bar pre-main event matches. You know, if he's going to be your guy going forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also we've been talking throughout this tournament about you know, having various finishes and having to do a certain number of moves to put people away. They're really not making the Destino seem powerful, are they?
No.
People keep kicking out of that. He needed two this time. Are we going to see a new finishing move for Naito, do we think?
I think.
Or is it a bit late in the tournament for them to be introducing that?
Well, I mean, you know, Ibushi's brought in a new finisher, which we'll talk about in a bit. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, I was talking with Chelsea about this on Monday, and I was saying it's kind of like they're telling the story of the Stardust Genius, which was his persona before his Tranquilio Naito. That perfection wrestler that he used to be or tried to used to be is no longer there. And I think they're trying to tell the story of his raggedness and his passion getting in the way of execution. Because he's not, even with the Destino, though, he hasn't landed it square, and that's why people kicked out.
Right, fair dues.
When he's landed it square, he's put them away. So, you know, I think that's partly it. I mean, if he hits it out of nowhere, it's not going to come off straight, I think is the answer, is what they're trying to say. So he needs two of them to get the job done. But you're right, it does look weak compared to, say, the Rainmaker or the One-Winged Angel.
This is it. I wonder, I mean, that's a strangely parallel kind of storyline to what I think they might be starting to do with Okada.
Yeah.
In that if he keeps losing his temper, then he's going to start getting a bit ragged as well. So maybe that plays into that.
Yeah. And they do like similar kind of storylines with a lot of guys, or similar in ring psychology, just so that other things strike home.
Yeah.
So, all right then. Then we move on to the main event, which was Kota Ibushi and Hiroshi Tanahashi. 20 minutes and 40 seconds, 4¾ stars from Meltzer, 8.80 from the Cage Match Inmates. This was a corker. I really, really enjoyed this. Tanahashi kind of playing semi-heel, Ibushi on the nose as his white meat babyface opponent. This was old school wrestling, and it was really, really, really well done. What did you think, Si?
Yeah, loved it. I disagree with you slightly about Tanahashi slightly playing heel. I thought he was full on heel here. I mean, we were in Ibushi's hometown,
right?
For this one, which, you know, WWE logic would suggest that he was losing this one, but clearly we're not applying that here. But yeah, I thought Tanahashi was working full heel. I mean, he was hitting him with cheap shots out of rope breaks, and then ignoring rope breaks, and always going back after that knee, but in a more sort of vicious rather than methodical way. I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it because Tanahashi was heel, because I just want him to be a heel all the time. and then I would be much happier.
Well, he worked. Sorry, Karen. Go on. I was going to say he worked semi heel against Yoshihashi, because again they were in Yoshihashi's hometown two nights before. So, you know, he gets the job of looking after the guy in their hometown.
Yeah.
But we discussed it with Chelsea. I discussed it again this with Chelsea. Was like, my theory was like, if he kind of like used up Minoru Suzuki and took over Suzuki Gun, that would be a set of stories you could tell.
Blimey. Okay.
Well, the reason why I said that is because Suzuki Gun used to be Kojima Gun.
Right.
And Minoru Suzuki usurped Satoshi Kojima to become the leader of Suzuki Gun. So, you know, you could replay that story all over again.
Yeah, I just feel like Tanahashi is the sort of you know, he used to be the star and now they don't really need him to be. So you've got to give him something else to do. And I suppose it's the equivalent of everybody clamoring for a John Cena heel turn, isn't it?
Yeah, which isn't necessarily going to work.
No, but with Tanahashi, I mean, you're not relying on him to sell T-shirts to kids so much, are you? So
no, because he'll sell T-shirts if he stabbed somebody, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Or bears, or whatever it is that he sells. So I mean, I know like the face heel dynamic often alters from match to match, but I'm really enjoying them using Tanahashi this way. I think it's great, this kind of aging star who's, you know, he used to be with it, and then they changed what it was.
Yeah. that's a fair and reasonable assessment, I feel.
And now he's angry.
Very angry.
And he has to go around beating up the younger, prettier boys.
How are we feeling with the correlation to the hair to the four-star matches? Because his hair was... I'm saying it wasn't quite up to its usual pomp, but it was a four-star match, so... Maybe I'm misjudging that.
I think when you're in with Ibushi, you can step back your hair game a little bit because you know, he's got some understated yet still pretty good
manga emo-ness.
Yeah, exactly.
E-manga.
and obviously you've just followed a Naito match with his pre-mullet, so maybe you thought, don't want to burn the crowd out too much. Like, you know, we're only on night 10. Got to save something, haven't we?
All right then. Well, that covers up to nights 10 and 11. We might get another one in this week and try and get up to where we are for the weekend, because that's the last run of the G1 Climax matches. So we're going to try and get to the final. We probably won't get the final reviewed for Monday, but we're going to try and get all the matches caught up this week that we can. And then we'll have the final review a week on Monday. So this is a bonus episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'd like to thank my guest at this time, Mr. Simon Heath. You can find him at Butlin's Club on Twitter, but he doesn't like to be bothered much.
Very true.
Yes. But please give him a shout and say thanks. Thank you very much for listening to the WrestleTalk TV podcast network, where you can find The Squash and The Troopany Show. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you are enjoying our G1 Climax coverage. If you're a listener on SoundCloud and you want to listen to the whole lot and binge your way through it, there is actually a playlist on there for all the G1 stuff separately. And if you want to go back to last year's, there's also a playlist for the last year's G1 coverage as well. Take care. We'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.